good morning. Let's pray. Father God, we come this morning to say thank you for this time, this hour, that you have allowed all of us to be together again. Lord, I come praying this morning that you would shower us with your grace and your mercy. Allow the power of the Holy Spirit to move us to heights that we have not seen before. I pray today, God, that you would bless Shiloh Baptist Church. From the youngest to the oldest, whatever problem we may have in this building today, Lord, we yield it to you. We give it to you, God, that, Lord, we might be free of anything that might hinder us from hearing your word today. I pray, God, that you would cause your flock to come in from the north, the south, the east, and from the west, and that those that are here, oh God, I pray that, Lord, you would begin a new mindset, a new heart to reach those that are lost. Regardless of where we may be, give us the courage to speak on your behalf, that the world might know that thou art God, and besides thee, there is none other, and that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. We thank you for your deliverance right now, in Christ Jesus' name. Lead me today, God, and I will follow, in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we made it through Christmas. Thank you, Jesus. Made it through Christmas. I'm looking forward to the new year with great anticipation, not only for my life, but for the body of Christ. So I pray that, you know, and I have been praying that you have in your mind to be used by God. To be used by God. You know, I said it again, and every time I say it, God, he does something else. He puts something else on my plate. I said it, I've been praying about it, and so I had a meeting this morning, was called to a meeting this morning at community, and some more stuff is on. I have to make a decision, so I ask that you would pray with me. They want me to head up a street ministry that is actually going to go out. One of the first things that we're talking about doing is distributing 100 Bibles on the street ministry to all of those that accept Christ. We're looking into the summer, into the early spring and summer, and get out on the streets and begin to do some serious ministry. And so, need your prayers. I haven't accepted yet, but that's what I do. So, with everything else on the plate, I'm trying to juggle and see which is what God wants me to do. So keep praying for me, all right? Today we want to talk about the blessed man. The blessed man. Okay? We want to use as a thought, blessed is the man. And if you would turn to the first Psalm, if you don't have NIV, we're coming out of the NIV today. Reach under your seat. There's an NIV under there. I usually preach out of the New King James Bible, as you know, but I was moved to use the NIV this time. We're going to use that a lot more this year. Okay? We'll also have it up on the screen, as you know, but we want to talk about the blessed man. Okay? Psalm 1, 1 through 6, that's that entire psalm. Psalm 1 begins by saying, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinners, or sit in the seat of the mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Verse 3 says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Verse 4 says, not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. As we look at going into the new year, how many of y'all want to be blessed in the new year? Y'all can raise your hand if you do. If you don't, just keep your hand down. But I do, so I put both mine up. Okay? You know, I want to be blessed. I am blessed, but you know what? God's got some blessings that I'm yet to get. God's got some blessings that you are yet to get, to have. And what he's talking about here is how a person can really be able to obtain some of these blessings. Okay? So he says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinner, or sit in the seat of the mockers. Now, what we're looking at is two parts to this message this morning. And I'll be as fast as the Lord allowed me to. But we were looking at two parts of this message. The first part is the blessed man. Okay? He's blessed. The blessed man is a man who steers clear of the lifestyle of the ungodly. Okay? Who steers clear of the lifestyle of the ungodly. If you look at Psalm 128 and 1, it reads, the blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his way. Okay? What did I say? I just said the blessed man is a man who steers clear of the lifestyle of the ungodly. So what causes us to steer clear of the ungodly people? Those people that are doing those things that are of the world. What causes that? The fear of the Lord. Okay? The fear of the Lord. Most of you guys know that I talk about my dad a lot. I love that old man, even though he's gone. I just love him, you know. Why? Because, you know, my dad taught me a lot, you know. He taught me a lot, but one thing that he taught me was that he did not play. That's one thing he taught me. My dad did not play. He would joke around with you, but when he was serious and he told you not to do something, guess what? A.D. Stevens would not play. And so what the thing we need to understand is that we serve a God that does not play. We may think that he understands. Well, I could have said, well, Dad, I'm going to stay out till midnight, but you told me to be home by 8 or 9, but I'm going to just go ahead and stay out till midnight. Wrong. I tried it, but there's consequences to that. Okay? And see, so fear brings in something that says, if I do these things, guess what? There's consequences to it. Am I right about it? There's consequences to everything that we do, but the fear of the Lord should cause us to do the things that is going to make God pleased with us. Therefore, bring it about the blessings that he has. I told the story of my son, my youngest son. Go out there. I want you to go out and cut the grass and everything and, go get the grass cut, son. Okay, Dad, I'm going to do it. Grass not cut. Well, boy, didn't I tell you to go outside and get the grass cut? Okay. Well, Dad, I'm going to do it. So he left. Grass not cut. Okay. He comes back. And I said, boy, didn't I tell you to cut the grass and all of that? Why didn't you get the grass cut and all that? Now, go cut the grass. I want to cut right now. So he goes out and cut the grass. But when he gets done cutting the grass, I'll let him see what he could have had. I had a $20 bill waiting for him. But now you can't get it. Why? Because you didn't do what I told you to do when I told you to do it. See, that's the thing with God. See, he didn't fear me enough, or he didn't honor me enough in order to go and do what I told him to do. Therefore, if he did, he received a $20 bill. Okay? Blessed is the man who steers clear of the lifestyle of the ungodly. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. And Psalm 128:4 says, this is the man blessed who fears the Lord. The one who is blessed is the one who fears God. Who fears God. The biggest problem that we have in society today and why things are going the way that they are is that one simple word, fear. There's no fear of God in the heart of people anymore. I was looking at a documentary on TV, and it stated how the United States was based upon the word and the fear of God. We've come so far. There's no more fear of the Lord. Therefore, guess what? The word of God is being pushed aside. Because the fear of God has been taken away. This is the man blessed who fears the Lord. The blessed man proudly says, okay, don't get this wrong. I'm proud of being a Christian. I'm proud of being who I am, who I say I am. I make it known. I don't have no, whatever you're going to say, that's fine with me. That's great. If you don't want to admit that you're a Christian, if you're too scared and all of that stuff, that's fine. Okay. It's not fine, but that's why you're going to do it. That's okay. But me, I'm proud of being who I am. I'm proud that I'm saved. I'm proud that I'm on my way to heaven. I'm proud that Jesus Christ have washed my sins away. I'm proud of that. So the blessed man proudly says, Psalms 26, 4 and 5. It says, I do not sit with deceitful men, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. A proud man who knows the fear of the Lord will refuse to do those things or be in the company of those people that are doing wicked and evil and things that are against God. A blessed man. Now, let's think about it for a second. This does not mean that the blessed man isolates himself completely from the wicked. Instead, he witnesses to them of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. He seeks to introduce them to Christ. He seeks to introduce them to Christ. Now, we cannot be like the Pharisee and the tax collector. That's wrong. That's just wrong. Here they are at the time of prayer, and the Pharisee is sitting up with his proud self, and he's just saying, I'm glad that I'm not like that man over there. No, we can't do that. That's the wrong type of pride. You know, that's arrogant pride. You know, I'm not arrogantly proud. Okay, but I am proud to be a Christian, and if it had not been for Jesus Christ, then I would be like that old tax collector, that sinner, just standing over there, you know, just full of sin. You see? But what the Pharisee was doing was he was trying to make himself righteous. And he was saying that, I'm proud, I'm happy that I'm not like that person over there. And the tax collector, he could not, the Bible says, even lift his head up. But he just beat upon his chest and says, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Blessed. The blessed man looks upon someone who is in the state that he used to be and have compassion. That's a blessed man. If you can look at someone else and says, but by the grace of God, there go I, and reach out and try to help them. That is what blessed people do. You know what? I had to get my wife used to this. Because I give more than I take in. But God meets every one of my needs. I don't worry about if I have money or not. I told a brother this the other day, and he was, because he was fussing about he broke and Christmas and all this stuff. Man, I got to get my money back together again. Well, that's fine. Man, you know what? I don't even worry about money no more. I really don't. Because every time, God is my witness, every time I need it, it's always there. And if you need a dollar, I got a dollar for you if I got it. You see what I'm saying? Because I'm ready more to give to you. I'm blessed more when I give than when I receive. And God supplies everything that I need. He does. He supplies everything that I need. Everything. See that? I had to show y'all this. It's a big old watch, ain't it? That's a big old watch. My son, he has a sense of humor. He came from Minnesota for Christmas. And I haven't bought a watch in probably 5-6 years, probably longer than that. Why? Because he's made it his point that every year he's going to buy me a watch. And so he came in, I said, boy, that's a big old watch. He said, better to see it, ain't it? I said, yeah, it's better to see it. You see? I haven't bought a watch. I haven't looked at even getting a watch. Why? Every time he comes, he gives me a watch. What do I need to go search for one for? God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. All we have to do is walk in his way. Verse 2 says, but his delight, hear it now, is in the law of the Lord. You hear that? My delight is not in the things of this world, but it's in the law of the Lord. And in his law, or on his law, he meditates day and night. Now, if you would turn to Psalm 112 and 1. He says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. In his commands. In other words, the blessed man has a hunger for the word of God. Has a hunger for God's word. Why is it that he has a hunger for God's word? Because God's word is the actual source of our life. We may not believe it. We may tend to find strength in other things, and that's good. But God's word will never fail. The Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot nor tittle of the word of God shall pass away. It's sure. It's the strength of our life. And that's why we should love to meditate upon the word of God. I'm glad that word meditate came in, because I was listening to a preacher, and he said this. Have you ever heard that people say, "Well, I don't really know how to meditate on God's word. I don't really know what to do, how to even sit and think about it." Okay? Check this one out. How many people worry about stuff? Sometimes we worry about things. Okay? So what are you doing when you're worrying? You're meditating. You're thinking about the problem that's going on. You're thinking about the situation that you find yourself in. You're trying to figure out how to get out of it. You're trying to figure out how did I get in this? You're actually meditating on the problem when you're worrying. So when we look at God's word, and God's word tells us this or that, how are we going to meditate on it? We sit and we think about how to apply God's word to our life, and what does it mean to us, and how can it be more enrich our life a whole lot more. God is, I'm in this situation right now, and so God, give me something from your word that might help me. And when I'm broke, I can go to God's word, and he says to me that I will supply. Oh, so I can think about that. Lord, I don't have to worry about what's going on, because you are going to supply everything I need. Y'all real quiet this morning. He's hungry for the word of God. He loves and meditates on it day and night. His life is enriched by it. And he also becomes a channel of blessings to others. Have God ever given you a scripture to give to someone studied God's word and meditated upon God's word, and then when somebody came to you with a problem or an issue of life, that God has already given you a word for them. A blessed man is one who does that, who's able and who's willing to bless somebody else. How? By his meditation upon the word of God. And God blesses another person with what you've been studying. Think about it. Verse 3 says, he is like a tree planted by the streams of waters, yet which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Whatever he does prospers. Psalm 92, verse 12 through 14. It says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Verse 14. They still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. Okay? I missed verse 13 in that, but that's all right. It says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. They will not die. The blessing of the Lord. They will be a blessing even in their old age. Even in their old age. All right, this morning? How many want to be blessed? Part two of this is the wicked man. See, so we talk about those that want to be blessed or the blessed man, but let's talk about the wicked man. Okay? In contrast to the blessed man, the Bible teaches us that the wicked is not so blessed. Verse 4 says, not so the wicked. They are like the chaff that the wind blows away. In Isaiah 40 and 24, he says, no sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, then he blows on them and they wither. Okay? The wicked are unstable, and when the storms of life blow, they are blown away. They have no substance. They have nothing. They may have money, but they don't have anything that is stable within them that's going to hold them when the trials of life really hits them hard. They're blown away. Oh, I don't know why this happened. I don't know what's going on in my life and all this kind of stuff. Well, have you meditated on God's word? Nope, you haven't. So guess what's going to happen? You're going to go crazy. Now, I do believe that in every situation, there is a wow factor. I do believe that in life, things happen to us where we're just messed up for a quick second. I do believe that. But those that are stable in the word of God has an anchor that they can reach out to in God's word that will help them through the trials of life, the storms of life. It's just like when Peter was walking on the water and all of a sudden he began to, as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to walk on the water. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. And as he began to sink, he remembered something, right? He remembered that Jesus was walking on the water with him. And so he cried out, he said, Lord, save me. Why did he begin to sing? Because he began to look at his circumstance. He began to look at all the winds and the waves of life. And he began to sink. But Jesus is always there. as an anchor to reach down, even if it's at the last moment, and pull you up again and to give you what you need to sustain you. All of this is done by faith. And if we don't believe what God's word says, then we have no anchor. Friends will leave you. Parents die and leave you. I know. You understand? Situations of life comes like a flood at times. And if we rely on anything else but God's word, have you ever had a problem? I mean, serious problem, and you went to somebody's house and they talked all around it, or they didn't have time for you, your best friend? Well, Jesus always has time. And if you study and meditate upon his word, guess what? You always have his word within thee. David said that I put your word in my heart so that I will not sin against you. Not only that, but that when I need it in times of trouble, that I can bring it back up again. I can bring it back up again. The wicked is unstable. When the storms of life blow, they're blown away. Jeremiah 13:24-25. I will scatter you like chaff driven by the desert wind. Talking about the wicked man. This is your lot, the portion I have decreed for you, declares the Lord. Because you have what? Forgotten me and trusted in false gods. Trusted. Okay? Think about all the actors and all of the entertainers that are no longer here because they trusted in their wealth, and their wealth let them down. And when things got to the highest point in their life, they couldn't help themselves. Money is not the fix of everything. Money can make you a little happy. But when you keep your eyes on God and make him the source of your life, money is there to be used toward building the kingdom of God. Now, it might shock somebody, but money ain't used for your own personal pleasure. God don't give us money in order just to, now you use it to get some things and do some things, have some fun. But money is used in order that God's agenda might be pushed forward in the world that is going to hell. People use money, so what? So that Satan's agenda can be pushed. That's why God is the alternative. That's why Jesus Christ came. So that he could be the alternative in all forms of life. Verse 5 says, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Psalm 5, verse 4 through 5, it says, you are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. With you, the wicked cannot dwell. See, we're going to a place where there'll be no more wicked people. We're going to a place where all sin and all destruction and all forms of ungodliness will not be there. And so this thing that people always say that, oh, man, and this I heard this and witnessing to people, you know, telling them that, you know, If we don't accept Jesus Christ, you know, then we're actually on our way to hell. Oh, man, my best friend, we be on that party. That's exactly what I've heard many, many of times. People are filled with delusions and things that saying that hell is not that bad. How you know? You ever been there? Nope, but I read about it. And what I read about it is that it's not a place that you want to go. You know, because hell was not even made for us. Hell was made for Satan and all of his angels. Why? Because he wanted to be like God. And God put him away. Don't you know that there are angels still in the deepest, darkest places of hell that is chained, waiting for judgment? The Bible tells us that it is once appointed for a man to die and then the judgment. So if we don't get it right now, and accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the only thing that we have to look for is not our friends, that we're going to have a party in hell or anything like that. What do we have to look for? We have the judgment. And people talk about going to hell, but I tell you, there's a place that's even worse than hell. And if you read your Bible, it's called the lake of fire, where you will forever be tormented, forever, eternally tormented and separated from God, the wicked man. The wicked man. Psalm 82 and 1 says, God presides in the great assembly. He gives judgment among the gods. The wicked man will, of course, appear before God at the judgment of the great white throne. The wicked will have no adequate defense. They will never stand in the congregation of the righteous. Why? Listen, people, we need to understand there's going to be two judgments. Read your Bible. Two judgments. All of those that have come to Christ, there's going to be a judgment. Okay? The great right throne of judgment is for all of those that have not accepted Christ as their personal Savior. And when they stand before God, then they're going to be judged for their sin. Let's make the difference here. Now, everyone that has accepted Christ as their personal Savior and are waiting for his return, those that through the tribulation accept Christ as their personal Savior, many will be saved during the tribulation. And they accept Christ will stand before God, not for their sin, but for their reward. There's a difference. There is a difference. It's in the book. Read it for yourself. We can live the life of a blessed man, or we can live the life of the wicked. Verse 6 says, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. God is not only aware of the righteous, but he approves them as well. The righteous person is the one who has confessed his sin and received the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. His righteous life is the result of his new life in Christ. A new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. That means God has recreated you, has taken you from your old form of life and given you a new life in Christ Jesus. A wicked and sinful lifestyle brings about eternal death. That's what it brings. The wicked, ungodly person is one who refuses to acknowledge his need to bow his knee to the Lord Jesus. He would rather keep his sin than have the Savior. That's beyond me. I mean, I was that person. Let's not get it wrong. I was that person, and it didn't take one person to come to me, and I accepted Christ. I don't know how many people had to come to me because I was hard at it. Okay? I'm just telling you the truth. I was hard-headed, and my mom, dad, and all the people was trying to tell me I needed Jesus and blah, 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 and I was in the world. And I wanted to do the things that I wanted to do. Are you with me? I'm by myself. I can talk about me. I can't talk about you. I wanted to do the things that I wanted to do, but there came a time in life where I knew for sure that I needed, that I was lost, that I was weak, that I was powerless over the things that was happening in my life. I couldn't change it. I tried and I tried, but I couldn't change it. And November 9th, 1991, at 10 o'clock at night, I said, Lord, if you take it all from me, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. And from that day, he's been pushing me up a little higher and higher and higher. And the only way that has happened is because I finally saw a need and felt a need to be saved from my situation, from my lifestyle. I'll say it again. Y'all wouldn't like me. Y'all wouldn't have liked me back in the day. You couldn't even see, Stephan, you, people say that now. Stephan, you used to do that, yeah. More than I can even tell you. Done some things I'll never tell anybody. Amen? Amen. All right, thank you. This year, this is the last Sunday we got one more Sunday in this year. Okay. Correct me if I'm wrong now. I thought I read it right. It's the last Sunday in this year. So have your mind already turned to next year? 2015? How you gonna walk? I'm not talking about resolutions because I don't believe in that. I believe that people lie a lot when they do that. I know I did. Some things that you want to change in your life. Some habits. The blessed man. Which one you want to be? Blessed is the man or woman that walks in a manner that pleases God. If what I'm doing is pleasing to God, I'm blessed. That's simple enough, isn't it? That's simple enough to take every single day, isn't it? Am I walking in a manner today, right now? I ain't talking about what's going to happen in tomorrow. Tomorrow ain't here. I might not make it. But right now, today, am I walking in a manner that's pleasing unto God? And then can I continue to walk in that manner? Because it's a choice. Am I going to, today, not tomorrow, today, this day, am I going to walk in a manner that's pleasing unto God? Let's bow our heads. Father God, we do thank you for your word, God, and we ask, God, that you would strengthen us, for we are weak. We falter along the way. And Lord, help us to do those things in this life that will please you, that we might receive all the blessings that you have for us. In Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Come on.